Governor Mike DeWine signed new legislation in December that changes parts of Ohio's recreational cannabis law and takes aim at intoxicating hemp. A group called Ohioans for Cannabis Choice is working on an effort to repeal the new law. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to explain the new law and what it will take to get a repeal effort on the ballot are Jana Herdninova, Administrative Director of the Drug Enforcement and Policy Center at Ohio State University's Moritz College of Law, Scotty Hunter, co-owner of Urban Artifact, and Cincinnati Enquirer political reporter Haley B. Miller. Thank you all so much for being here. Jana, what significant changes did Senate Bill 56 make to the state's recreational marijuana law in terms of what's legal and what's not?
Right. There were several changes that I think are significant and that we should maybe should talk about. One of them is the limit on number of dispensaries in the state. It has been capped to 400. So that is one that mostly affects the industry, not necessarily, you know, the everyday users. However, SB 56 also made some changes, for instance, to the definition of adult use marijuana and medical marijuana, which have criminal justice repercussions for users. So under the old bill, under issue two, marijuana, adult use marijuana, was not specific to Ohio-grown and Ohio-processed marijuana. SB 56 has changed the definition. So now somebody who, for instance, goes to another state, such as Michigan, and purchases legal marijuana in a legal Michigan dispensary and brings it over to Ohio, that product is no longer considered legal marijuana, and a person can be charged, per our drug laws in Ohio with a possession charge, for instance.
I want to stop you there for just a moment, Jana. Mm-hmm. Haley, what was the political rationale behind that, behind making it illegal for Ohio residents who are over the age of 21 to have marijuana bought legally from another state, like from Michigan?
It's hard to say. I think, you know, they're just trying to ensure that people are buying from Ohio businesses, using products that go through Ohio's regulatory system. It is illegal federally to cross state lines with marijuana, but it frankly happens a lot. There are a lot of people in Ohio who buy marijuana in Michigan, and up until now, it really hasn't been much of a problem. You know, people aren't getting pulled over in Toledo because they may have marijuana in their car.
Do either of you know, either you, Jana, or Haley, know how a police officer would be able to tell where your marijuana was purchased?
I would assume it would be noted on the packaging of the product, possibly. But for instance, you know, homegrown marijuana in Michigan, there's no way really for anybody to tell whether it was homegrown in Michigan or whether it was homegrown in Ohio. Do I anticipate, you know, grandmothers being pulled over because they have a product purchased in a medical dispenser in Michigan for their glaucoma? I really don't. I do not think this is going to be a high priority for law enforcement officers. However, the fact is that it is now on the books. So if a law enforcement officer does want to make the charge and that arrest, they would be legally enabled to do so now.
Well, thank you, Jana. And I know I interrupted you. You were going to, there are several other changes that this law makes.
Yeah, there are several changes. One of the other ones that I would like to mention is transportation of marijuana. Under issue two, there was really nothing in the bill or in the statute that specified how marijuana should be transported in a motor vehicle. SB 56 has very specific instructions on an open product. So an open product can be transported within normal car enclosure. However, if you have an open product, it now has to be behind the passenger, so somewhere where a driver cannot access it. And if your car doesn't have a passenger seat, I'm sorry, it has to be in the trunk. So vehicle doesn't have a trunk, then you might be left kind of not knowing, for instance, on a city bus, how do you transport legally purchased marijuana that has been opened? So that's one thing. It would be a minor misdemeanor. not a terrible charge, but a criminal charge. And as we all know, any type of criminal charge can have pretty negative impact on somebody's life in terms of employment, housing, and such. Mm.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Yana, you've referenced issue two a couple times. That, of course, was the measure that Ohio voters approved to make recreational cannabis legal in 2023. But that was a statute. So state lawmakers can make changes to it because it was not a constitutional amendment, right?
That is correct. Yes. I think some legal scholars would debate the extent to which Ohio General Assembly can change a ballot pass statute. But in reality, the General Assembly sees themselves as being able to change anything in the statute passed by the voter. Mm-hmm.
Haley, this law also addresses the sale of intoxicating hemp, which is something Governor DeWine has been pushing for quite some time. What happens with all those intoxicating hemp products if and when this law goes into effect?
Yeah, so right now, a lot of these products aren't subject to regulations thanks to the 2018 federal farm bill. But things have changed in that space, both at the federal level and the state level. Congress enacted federal restrictions on these hemp products last year. And so Senate Bill 56 kind of mirrors that language. Products over a certain threshold of THC would be considered marijuana products and would have to be sold in licensed marijuana dispensaries. This includes a lot of products that right now are sold by CBD stores, things like that. There are a lot of local businesses worried about the impacts of this. This would also restrict the sale of THC beverages, which have become a pretty popular alternative to marijuana. So it really, it dramatically changes this industry that's cropped up in Ohio over the last several years.
Scotty, I want to talk to you about those THC beverages. Urban Artifact has some of those products, right? What does this mean for you?
Yeah, and I'd like to make one quick clarification. While there might not be retail rules and regulations on hemp products in the state of Ohio, there are rules and regulations for anybody manufacturing in the state processing hemp. And that goes for a lot of other states as well. The lag has been that processing and cultivation rules existed, but retail rules did not exist. So and this is not a criticism of Haley, but it's usually a criticism of our opposition. These are not completely unregulated products for the most part, right? Because they're licensed processors or licensed cultivators producing these. Anyway, fast forward to hemp beverages. We started producing these products under the Costalo brand name. Just about 2 years ago now. We also co-manufacture for a number of brands, both local, regional, and national in this space. So we're very vested in it. It's been a great boon to our business. We've been able to, grow our top line revenue, grow our workforce. We even got a Jobs Ohio grant for our investment that we're making in manufacturing. So it's been great for our business, and, facing what we are today is definitely disappointing at best.
We're talking. Please go ahead.
Sorry. If I also could add, we did actually get clarification on the fate of formerly called intoxicating hemp products from the Division of Cannabis Control, and intoxicating hemp products will not be able to be sold in licensed dispensaries once the law goes into effect on March 20th. Only products that are grown and produced by a licensed marijuana grower and a processor can be sold in legal dispensaries. So just one clarification on that point.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Because Haley, initially in this, when this bill was being discussed and debated, there was talk about selling intoxicating hemp products in dispensaries. There was initially a carve out for THC beverages, right?
Yeah, the bill initially gave THC beverages a grace period, essentially, to continue selling until we see what happens with the federal ban, because the federal ban does not take effect until later this year. And there's a belief that Congress is going to revisit this and maybe make its own carve-outs for THC beverages. So lawmakers initially were going to give the beverage industry a little bit more time, see what happens at the federal level. But Governor Mike DeWine vetoed that piece of the bill. As you alluded to earlier, he's just really against this stuff, whether it's the hemp products or the beverages. And so because of his veto, the beverages will be subject to the same restrictions come March.
We're talking about a new Ohio law that takes aim at intoxicating hemp products and makes changes to the state's criminal penalties related to recreational marijuana. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Scotty, I know a coalition, as I mentioned, is working to put a repeal of Senate Bill 56 on the ballot. Is Urban Artifact involved in that?
So I personally am on the committee for the referendum. We have been supportive of regulation, our business has, given where we are in the space and where we produce. But I also do want to clarify something that not only the federal law, but the same language that was adopted by the state of Ohio, it is far more broad sweeping than just the quote unquote intoxicating hemp products. Because of the limits on THC per package and the limits on THC while processing, it is going to eliminate cultivation for all farmers in the state of Ohio, because you cannot process hemp and stay below those THC thresholds that are spelled out. And then full spectrum CBD products that might be used for medical reasons, such as, you know, epilepsy treatment, those will no longer be able to be sold in Ohio either, because there has to be some amount of THC to CBD for efficacy of those products. So that is, you know, Haley mentioned the hope that we get something done congressionally. Part of that is because it also attacked full spectrum products, not just the worst actors, as some of the politicians like to claim. Additionally, President Trump, through his executive order on rescheduling marijuana, had very specifically called out this piece of language that the Congress had slipped into the funding bill last fall about addressing that and correcting that. So we do feel, you know, in this space that we will get that corrected before the November deadline.
Okay. So that's at the federal level. Scotty, can you talk a little bit more about the coalition that's involved in trying to repeal Senate Bill 56 here in Ohio? Who all's behind that? Tell us a little bit more about the reason for the opposition.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it is interested parties, businesses in the hemp space. There's over 6,000 different businesses that operate hemp and cannabis. Sorry, this is not solely hemp. That is, you know, where most of my time is spent. But this is all cannabis. You know, we referenced how the state legislator had changed voter approved pieces of the bill with SB 56. And, you know, what we're doing with this referendum is showing that the people want access to these products. They voted in 2023 for specific access to recreational marijuana, and the legislators should not be overturning that. They're supposed to be representing the will of the people. When the will of the people overwhelmingly had voted this way, going back and changing it a couple years later doesn't make any sense to me. So, part of this is we need to collect signatures. So on, I believe, Tuesday of this week, the Attorney General and the Secretary of State certified the referendum petition, which grants us the ability to collect, it's approximately 250,000 signatures before the effective date of SB 56. And what that would do is that would trigger then a vote on the ballot in November on whether or not SB 56 would remain as it was signed into law, or if it would, sections would be repealed. And one other clarification, it is not a complete repeal of SB 56. It is repeal of sections of SB 56, because in SB 56, it actually details where the excise tax for marijuana tax can go and get distributed to municipalities. That piece of the legislation is staying in place, right? We're not trying to get in the way of, you know, local municipalities getting those tax dollars that they so deserve.
Okay. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Emma. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
Hi. My question was about how the laws your guests were describing that are part of this bill in terms of possession of an Ohio product and transportation would affect people from other states, neighboring states that are either just driving through or are bringing in products that they've purchased legally in their states. Thanks.
Great question. Thanks, Emma. Yana, do you have thoughts on that?
Yes. So I, you know, full disclosure, I am not an attorney, so this is not considered a legal advice by any means. But my assumption would be that anybody who is in the jurisdiction of the state of Ohio would be subject to the same laws as an Ohioan. Therefore, somebody from Michigan driving through Ohio with a Michigan purchased product might face potential challenges, legal challenges, if they are caught and the law enforcement officer decides to investigate and to charge them. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but my assumption is you're subject to the laws of the jurisdiction you're in.
Okay. Thanks for that question, Emma. We're going to continue this conversation after a short break, and later in the program, we'll discuss why states are struggling to regulate what's in legal weed. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about a new Ohio law that takes aim at intoxicating hemp products and makes changes to the state's criminal penalties related to recreational marijuana. My guests are Yana Herdninova, the Administrative Director of the Drug Enforcement and Policy Center at Ohio State University's Moritz College of Law, Scotty Hunter, the co-owner of Urban Artifact, and Cincinnati Enquirer political reporter Haley B. Miller. You can join the conversation. Call 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Yana, how do these changes in Ohio's law compare to the way other states regulate recreational marijuana? Do you have a sense for whether this puts Ohio kind of more in line with other states, or are there big differences here?
I mean, the one thing I would say is every state truly regulates legal marijuana differently. I don't think there is any happy medium. It's a range. I think the cap on the number of dispensaries that is allowed in the state, as well as the limits on how many growers and processors we can have in the state, I think that's a more conservative approach to marijuana than we have seen in other states. But I think the consensus is growing that some kind of limits on the growth of the processors, especially, is a solid policy to prevent oversaturation of the market, to prevent diversion into illicit market and such. So we have seen, even, you know, for instance, the state of Michigan, which used to have unlimited number of licenses for processors, has now limited the number of processors. Growers who can grow the product. So I think Ohio, as with many other things, is sort of in the middle. We do not tend to be on the extreme one way or the other in terms of the criminal justice provisions or the penalties that we have not looked at. We have looked more at the industry side of things, but in terms of the industry and taxation, for instance, we are sort of smack in the middle of the range of permissiveness and tightness of regulations.
Scotty, we were talking earlier about this federal change in the law that was part of the bill to reopen the government last year, and that the efforts that your industry are making to try to get that changed before that takes effect. Do you have a sense for how Ohio's law, this SB 56, as it relates to intoxicating hemp, how that compares to the way other states are looking at regulating intoxicating hemp and things like THC beverages? Do you have a sense for how it compares?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm so glad you asked. It is way overly restrictive. It is not at all comparable to other states, other neighboring states, quite honestly. There's been framework for the retail sale of hemp products in both Kentucky and West Virginia for years, not only beverages, but other edibles, tinctures, things of that nature. Because as we discussed, there's a lot more to cannabinoids derived from hemp than just beverages or just intoxication. Michigan is pushing to push a legalization of hemp beverages bill through this year, even with the federal language that we were talking about. So, you know, I can't remember the number off the top of my head, but we're talking about at least a dozen states that have proper regulation on the retail side of hemp products. So Ohio is very far behind. And I, you know, growing up here, I never thought of Ohio as being this far behind the times with such a law.
Haley, Scotty referenced this earlier, but what changes does Senate Bill 56 make when it comes to taxes on recreational marijuana? The amount that gets collected, where that money goes, are there changes that the lawmakers made with that?
So there aren't any changes to the amount that these products or marijuana products are taxed, but the big thing that this legislation did was release money that was owed to municipalities with dispensaries. That was part of issue two. They said that if you're a city, a township with a dispensary, you get a cut of the marijuana revenue. But lawmakers and the state argued that the way issue two was passed, it didn't include a mechanism to actually get that money to cities and townships. So local leaders were waiting around a while for this money, and they finally got it with Senate Bill 56. The state started doling out that revenue late last year. Mm.
Haley, so this coalition that wants to repeal at least parts of the law has until March to collect all these signatures. If this group gets enough valid signatures to put this on the ballot this year, what happens then? The law is scheduled to take effect in March. Does that kind of get put on hold?
Yeah, so if they get on the ballot, the law will not take effect in March like it's currently slated to, and then voters in November will get the opportunity to, you know, vote up or down whether they want the law to take effect. It's been a while since Ohio has seen a successful referendum on the ballot. The last time this happened was dealing with some anti-union legislation that was passed during the Kasich administration. Hmm.
Scotty, if this repeal does make it to the ballot and voters approve it, I know that's several steps ahead of where we are right now, what would that mean for Ohio law related to intoxicating hemp? You mentioned that it wouldn't repeal everything, it would just repeal parts. So what's the aim here?
The aim is to, you know, go back to legislatures and get some sensible regulation in place. You know, 21 plus for products containing THC, for example, testing requirements, you know, licenses, things of that nature. These are things we've been asking the state legislature for years. And if that was really what the main concern was, as kind of gets spoken about at these press conferences, there was no opposition to that. Right. Like this is very straightforward. We've seen this in other states where, you know, they pass 21 plus for, you know, anything with THC in it. It's very straightforward. So that's the aim is, you know, let's get this, get the bad language repealed. Because honestly, SB 56, before it got through conference committee, was an okay bill for hemp products. It wasn't great. It wasn't the best. And I'm not saying it didn't have its flaws, but it was not overly restricted in an outright ban like we're looking at right now.
Okay. Well, I have been talking with Cincinnati Enquirer political reporter Haley B. Miller and Scotty Hunter, the co-owner of Urban Artifact. Thank you both so much for your time today. And Jana Herdinova is going to stay with us for the second half of the program. Up next, why states are struggling to regulate what's in legal weed. This is Cincinnati Edition.